You can go ahead and open up your Bibles if you would like to Matthew chapter 10. We're actually going to be looking at verse 40. We've been going through the book of Matthew because I believe the Bible changes lives. And today as we dig through this text, we want to allow the Lord to speak to us and allow Him to change our life today. Because that's what He does. God is good and we want to give Him honor as we go through the Word. Let's go ahead and pray and ask the Lord to just bless this time that we set aside to get into the Bible today. Jesus, we love You. We thank You. We ask for Your help, Lord, because we can't do anything on our own, God. Sure, maybe we could get together and have a church service, but nobody's changed unless it's Your Holy Spirit that changes them. My words do nothing. Your words do everything. So we ask You to take this time and to bless it, Lord, and speak into our lives. We ask this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Today we're going to finish out Matthew chapter 10. We've been going through Matthew for a little while because I believe the Bible changes us and you don't want to come to hear me because I'm not that good. You want to come and hear Jesus. So we want to read the words of Jesus and ask Him to bless our lives. That's the wrong verse. We're actually looking at 40, 41, and 42, just three verses today. But I believe there's a lot of things we can look at and apply in our heart. Jesus says this, "Anyone who receives you receives me, and anyone who receives me receives the Father who sent me. If you receive a prophet as one who speaks for God, you will be given the same reward as a prophet. And if you receive a righteous person because of their righteousness, you will be given a reward like theirs. And if you give even a cup of cold water to one of the least of my followers, you will surely be rewarded." Thank You for Your word, Lord, and help us today. If you have your bulletin, we have some blanks on the back that you could take notes on. You can grab that. Does anybody need a bulletin today? We can hand you one. If anybody missed one coming in the door, we can get you one. Your first blank on your sheet is this. God has ordained His spokesman to preach the gospel. God has ordained His spokesman to preach the gospel. Let me break this down for you here. In this passage in chapter 10 overall, Jesus is calling His apostles to go out and preach. He's sending them out in 10 verse 1, He's saying He called His 12 disciples together and He's sending them out. And this is where we've been for a little while, what God is telling them as they are to go out and preach the gospel. The gospel is the message of Jesus. The word gospel literally means good news. The fact that Jesus saves you, changes you, and forgives you all of your sin, and listen, makes you just like you've never done anything wrong, that is good news. That you don't just have to live for life here. You just don't have to try and get through life and then die. But that you can have Jesus help you through life. And we can look forward to heaven. That is good news. Because the Bible says either there's one of two destinations that we'll go to after this life. It's either heaven or it's hell. A real heaven that's really good. Or a real hell that's really not good. And I think it's good news that we can go to heaven. That Jesus can forgive me and help me today to live as He's called me to live, to be the husband that He's called me to be the dad that He's called me to be. I'm so grateful for the Lord. God was calling His spokesman, His apostles to go and preach. And verse 40, the one we're really looking at here, Jesus says, "Anyone who receives you receives me." See, if their message was received when they're preaching, the people would find Christ, right? They're to go out and share Jesus. That's what this verse is saying. If they receive them, meaning if they receive the message that they have of Jesus, they receive Jesus. They would be forgiven. They would go to heaven. The Holy Spirit would live within them and empower them. He was calling them to go and preach the gospel. Why preaching? Listen, there's no other way that God has called the church to operate except through the preaching of the word. There's no other God-ordained method. Some churches today, they want to say, we don't preach, let's just have a conversation, let's just have movies and potluck dinners. The truth is that what we need to do is get into the Bible and have the Bible change our life, right? And God's called us to preach. And I'm not against movies. Movies are fine. And I'm not against conversations. Conversations are great. But there is nothing else that we need to do more than getting into God's Word. And in some places, they focus more on music. And I would love to have a really cool band with 100, well, not 100, that's too many, you know, 10 people, right? And all awesome instruments. I would love that. But that cannot take the place of getting into the Bible each week and asking God to speak to us. Preaching is where it's at. That's what God's called me to do, and that's what changes lives. Nothing can replace that. Romans 10:14, Paul says in Romans, how can they call on Him to save them unless they believe in Him? How can they believe in Him if they've never heard of Him? And how can they hear about Him unless someone tells them? Right? Unless someone tells them. People won't come to Jesus unless it's shared. I believe it's St. Francis who receives credit for a particular quote that actually some people doubt that he even said. But it's this quote, preach always, when necessary, use words. So we would say, go through your life, preach all the time, but only share words when it's necessary. It sounds like a good quote. I don't think it's a good quote because words are always necessary. You need to share Jesus with somebody, right? They're not going to go to heaven just because you buy them lunch. You need to let them know that Jesus loves them, that He died for them, that He rose again for real. And that's what changes lives. Are you with me today? Right? All right. That's why we preach. And why do we preach Jesus? Why is it always about Jesus at our church? Because Jesus is the only way to God. The second part of verse 40, Jesus says, anyone who receives me receives the Father who sent me. Right? Anyone who receives me receives the Father. Jesus made it abundantly clear that there is no other way to God except through Him. And in fact, John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. See, we have this thing today where we want to say there's many ways to God. There's many ways to heaven. There's many ways to get right. There's not. Jesus said anyone that comes through Him gets to the Father, and that's it. That's it. And if you've heard this, that there's many ways to Jesus stuff, it's very popular. It's just not true. That's the only problem, right? It's kind of like me dreaming and pretending that I'm Superman. And if somebody was shooting a gun and I tried to jump in front of it to stop the bullet, I can think I'm Superman, but I'm taking the bullet and I'm dropping, probably. I don't want to try it. Would you try that, Pastor Bob? You kind of are Superman, so maybe it'd work. But for me, it wouldn't work. I could climb on top the roof, put on my little red cape. I would just look like a Pop-Tart or something. I'd look like a crazy person. But I could say, I'm Superman, and I could take a running leap, and I'm going to break my legs because I'm not Superman. It's just not true. So we can believe that there's many ways to God, and we can believe I can just be a good person, and God has to let me into heaven. The only problem with it is it's not true. We can believe, well, when I die, everything ceases to exist, so I don't need to believe in God. And I'll just hang out here and do whatever I want to do. And when I pass away, that's all there is. Well, that may be nice for you. The only problem is the Bible says it's not true. And I rely upon the Bible. The only problem is that's not real. And you're going to die and you're going to stand before God who created the world. I would much rather receive Him, right, than to not. God has ordained His spokesman to preach the gospel. In a second, we're going to read the word prophet. A prophet, biblically, a prophet is someone who speaks for God. That's the definition of a prophet. I'm using the word spokesman because a lot of weirdos have made the word prophet weird. They're just weird. And a prophet is Nostradamus, right? And a prophet is all these guys predicting all these things, and it just sounds a little spooky. Biblically speaking, a prophet is someone who speaks for God. It's not about foretelling, as in predicting the future. It's about forthtelling, as in holding forth God's word. A prophet is one who proclaims what God has said. That's what a prophet is, simply speaking. In the Old Testament, we had prophets where God would speak to them and give them a message, and they would share that message that God gave them. Oftentimes, it was not about the future at all. Many times, it was about stop sinning, get right with God, and because God is mad at you, and He's coming back, and you're going to be in trouble, right? He's going to destroy you, or whatever. It wasn't about, you know, next week, these are the lottery numbers, go play them. It's not the prophet's job. A prophet's job isn't about telling you who you should marry, per se, or what's going to happen down the road. The prophet's job is to speak whatever God wants, and that could be a bunch of things. So biblically speaking, a prophet is preaching the gospel or speaking what God wants, and that's including the words of God here today. God called them to preach the gospel because if not, nobody else gets saved. Nobody goes to heaven. That's why God has said that. We're going to look at the next verse here. I'm going to try and go through this pretty quickly today. We'll see. When I say that, it's usually an hour and a half, but we'll see how we do today. Some of you, oh yeah, quickly, Pastor. I wish you didn't say that. The next blank on your page is God rewards those who receive His spokesman. Here we're going to see the word prophet. In 10:41, the first half of that, Jesus says, if you receive a prophet as one who speaks for God, you will be given the same reward as a prophet. Again, a prophet is one who declares what God wants, who speaks for God. That can include someone who has a sense, you're praying, you love Jesus, and you feel like God is leading you to share something. That happens within the church. We believe in spiritual gifts, that God can give someone a message to share. But that also happens when one preaches the Bible, right? A prophet, biblically speaking, who speaks for God as God's spokesman, would be a preacher or a pastor, okay? Which would be like myself or Pastor Bob when he shares. It would also be a guest pastor who would come, as we had Brother Lexell not too long ago at our anniversary last year, came to preach, and he was preaching God's word from the Bible, right? And that would be like a prophet from the words of God. Now, I'm not going to get a van and put my picture on the side. Don't think I'm all freaky now. Worship me, I'm the prophet. I'm not saying that, but that's where people took the word and they've made the word really weird. And it's not weird. It's one who speaks for God. And when we're speaking the Bible, you can be sure you're speaking for God. This is safe. I heard a story recently of someone who went to church and he took his Bible and they never read the Bible. They just talked a lot and sang a lot of songs and went home. How sad. Then you don't get to hear from God. When we open up the Bible, we get to hear from God. That God wants to work in your life and speak to you. And that's exciting. And that's personal. Crazy thing when we preach, right? I can share something today, and one person over here will leave receiving something different than somebody over here. And we're sharing the same verse. One person will leave and saying, God loves me, and I never realized that. Because God was speaking to their heart. And somebody else would leave saying, man, God wants me to live for Him and stop fooling around. And somebody else would hear something different. God wants to encourage me to keep trusting Him through my tough times. Isn't that neat? Because what it is God's Word speaks to us in different places, which is cool. But when we read God's Word and we ask Him to bless it, and we seek to proclaim it, and we seek to receive it, then God speaks to us. You know when else God speaks to us? When missionaries come. Which we're having coming up soon. Pastor Bob mentioned our missions convention. We have a great dinner on a Saturday night, February 25th. We're going to have a great speaker here who's sharing God's word and sharing what God is doing around the world. And he is speaking, when he's sharing the Bible, he's speaking for God. Right? Now, does that mean that we pray to the missionary? No. Does that mean everything he says is speaking for God? No. Is everything I ever say is speaking for God? No. When I refer to liking the Philadelphia Eagles, I'm not trying to say that Jesus likes the Philadelphia Eagles. It's not what I'm trying to say, right? It's not that. But when we open the Bible, we can be confident that we're speaking for God. Missionaries, guest pastors, within a church, when there is a prophecy in church, sometimes we pray and say, God, we need to hear from you. And we have times where someone would stand up and say, you know what? I really think this is on my heart, and I really think God is saying that we need to trust Him or something. Or whatever. And we'll hear someone share something. That's called a gift of prophecy. And what we do is the Bible says we sit back and we evaluate that and we say, God, is this from you? Because someone felt this, is this from you? 1 Corinthians 14 says we evaluate that. That when there is a gift like that, we say, God, does it line up with your Bible? Because the picture is this. The Bible is the Word of God. And everything else, including me, including any thought somebody had of God, it has to line up with the Bible, is the Bible being number one. Right? 1 Thessalonians 5:19 says, do not scoff at prophecies, but test everything that is said. Hold on to what is good. That if someone says, you know what, I think this is God, and we pray, and the first question is, does this line up with the Bible? Is someone saying something crazy? Or does it line up to the Bible? So we look at that. And you know what else is neat? When we become Christians, the Bible says the Holy Spirit lives within us. And we have the inner witness of the Holy Spirit. That if someone shares something, or even, it's not just a spiritual gift, it's also in a church service when someone's preaching. And you'll say, does that line up with the Bible? And you should be doing that with me. You should be saying, is that what the Bible really says? And sit back and read it yourself. And then we'll look, does this message line up with the Bible? Is the spokesman lining up with the Word? Right? Does this gift line up with the Word? And you have the inner witness of the Holy Spirit. Have you ever been someplace where you've heard somebody say something about God and maybe you didn't, it just felt creepy? And you're like, I don't think that's in the Bible, right? Because God gives you His Holy Spirit. And you're like, I don't think so. And then later on you ask a pastor or look it up and see if that's true. But God speaks to us, but we have certain rules that we set up to see whether or not it is God. And that's the big rule is the Bible. God, is this pastor preaching the Bible? There's a lot of pastors on TV, oh my, that don't preach the Bible. I don't even watch them because they make me mad. They don't preach the Bible. They'll read part of a little verse and they'll just talk about everything else and miss it. We need to say, God, what does your Bible say? And line up underneath of the Bible. Because the Bible is objective. See, we have some things that are subjective, and we have some things that are objective. The Bible is objective. That means we can't argue with it. It is God's Word. And everything else can be subjective. If I just have a feeling, that can be subjective. That means it could be God. It could be the cheesesteak I ate last night not settling right. So we look at it and say, is this thought lined up with the Bible? And if it is, we receive it. Now this passage says God rewards those who receive, my outline, God rewards those who receive His spokesman. The question is the person speaking for God? Okay? I'm saying all this stuff because what I don't want you to do is just sit back and say, everybody who says they speak for God, we need to just receive everything that they say. Right? And we need to just, because you would get, you know, a couple guys together and they would say completely contradictory things. You can't receive everything, and that's not what we're supposed to do. But if someone is preaching biblically and they love God, then when they proclaim God's Word, we should realize that God, if it's real, if they love Jesus, and if it's biblical, that God is speaking through that person to proclaim His Word, and we should receive it. Do you understand? There should be power in preaching, is what I'm trying to say. So you need to make sure it's biblical, and unfortunately, there's a lot of people that mess things up. But if it's really coming from the Bible, you're really reading the Bible, it's not some wacky, crazy stuff, then when God is speaking to you, you should expect that, well, God is speaking to you when you come to church. That's really something. That means when we come together, maybe on Sunday morning you're getting ready, you can expect that God will speak to you. Right? And if you can't, find a church where you can. And that doesn't mean you humbly follow some man. And you know what I'm saying? I think I've said it 100 times. But if it's biblical, if it lines up, you can get ready in the morning and you can shave or whatever you do. And you can say, God, please speak to me today through the preaching of your word. I need to hear from you. And this verse says, God rewards those who receive his spokesman. If they are his spokesman and you receive it, God will reward you. You can be blessed through the preaching of God's word. That's cool. Now let me just ask, how many of you have been blessed by sitting underneath of the preaching of God's word? That maybe there's things that you were going through and you're at church and all of a sudden God's speaking to you and you're like, wow, right? It's awesome. It's awesome. God rewards those who receive his spokesman, Jesus said. His prophet, one who's proclaiming the truth of God's word. That's why we do this, because it's very important. Can I say this before we move on? Preaching is very humbling for me. I am not an outgoing guy at all. Okay? I hated public speaking. Oh my! Anybody remember that? I remember 8th grade. I talked to my mom and tried to get her to get me out of the class. I would stand up at the little podium. I'm shaking. I didn't want to read my little thing about nothing. I hated it. Anybody else? You hate it? The only reason why I do this is because God has called me to do it. Because this is not who I am. It's really not. But God's called me to do this, and it's very humbling. It's very humbling. And when I proclaim that, it even sounds ridiculous that God chose me to share the things of God. I'm just so humbled and so honored by that. It's really crazy. It's really ridiculous. But I thank God that He has, and there's nothing else that I'd rather do than share His truth. So I don't know if I'm any good at it, and that doesn't matter. But God's called me just to do that. And for you, God, for some of you, maybe God's called you to share. God's called you to share some place in your life, right? To share Jesus with people, because He didn't kill you. If you're a Christian and you're still alive, God wants you to share Jesus with people who are hurting. He just does. And God's called you, and He will help you to do that. I love this verse that says, God rewards those who receive His spokesman. But again, Jesus said, if you receive a prophet as one who speaks for God, you will be given the same reward as a prophet. The same reward as the prophet. See, God doesn't reward you in regards to being famous. God rewards you for faithfulness. See, that's pretty important. It's not about you being famous. It's about you being faithful to what God's called you to do. This says that if my calling is to preach and hold forth God's word, Jesus said He's going to bless you with the same reward that I would get for being faithful, holding it out, as you just receiving it. Isn't that good? So it doesn't say I get extra points in heaven for doing this. I'm called to do it, so I have to do it. If you're called to receive it, you just receive it, and we end up going to heaven and getting the same rewards. Like, that's cool, right? So God doesn't look at somebody and say, here's a famous pastor, he gets extra points in heaven. God doesn't do that. He says that the most famous pastor you can think of, we love Billy Graham because he's awesome and he lived a long life and he's never fallen into nasty sin like a lot of guys, so he's a hero so far. He's still alive. I've heard somebody say if you pick your heroes, you should pick them when they're dead so you know they're not going to mess it up. But Billy Graham's old enough that I hope he keeps going strong because he's still alive, right? Till the Lord calls him home. I think he is. I haven't read that. Right? What's that? Yeah, he's frail. He's getting older. But thank God for his faithfulness. But God's reward for Billy Graham isn't going to be greater than the guy who just sits on his church and listens. That's cool. Because if your calling is to sit and receive from God, even if you sit under Billy Graham's ministry, you're going to get the same reward as Billy Graham is for holding out the truth. And I think that's cool. Because Jesus calls us to be faithful and not famous. There's no popularity contest in heaven. You just do what God's called you to do, and I do what God's called me to do, and somehow we serve Jesus and we keep grinding out until He kills us or He comes back. And we live for Him. That's cool. And it's great to know that God speaks to us. And it's great to know that when we receive His Word, we're blessed. I think we're blessed in heaven, but I also think we're rewarded now with the peace of God and the encouragement of God, right? That sometimes you leave and you're like, God loves me. That's ridiculous. And you leave blessed. Or you leave if you're broken and you can say, God's going to help me. God cares about me. I'm so blessed. You're blessed here and forever. And that's cool. That's cool. We're going to look at the next part of this verse here, verse 41, the second part. My outline is this. God rewards those who receive the ones changed by His spokesman. Jesus says, if you receive righteous people because of their righteousness, you will be giving a reward like theirs. How are people made righteous? Jesus, right? That they find Jesus and they're forgiven of their sins and they're changed. That's good. That God makes you right with Him. And He takes away all of your sin. He doesn't ignore it. He doesn't cover it up. He removes it. And you're right with God. As here, we talked earlier about receiving the ones who God has called to preach His Word and to share for Him. Here, it says God rewards those who receive those who are changed. So in the midst of preaching God's Word, people come to know Jesus. And they ask Jesus to forgive them. And they start coming to church. And they start attending. And our job is to receive them in, to receive the righteous people. To let them know, God loves you, we love you, welcome to the family. Isn't that cool? See, we use this word at our church all the time. We use the word family. And it looks like we got a lot of family who's sick today. The ice kept them away. But we use the word family because we really believe it's important to really know each other. And listen, family cares about each other, right? And family, when somebody's hurting, the rest gather around and pray for them. And we think about them. And when one person gets a promotion or a raise, the rest are excited. Because we're proud of you. And we're glad that God is blessing you. We're not envious. We're glad because that's what family does. And here it says, when people are changed by the Word, we say, welcome to the family. And we welcome them in, and they're a part of our church. Isn't that good? Welcome. That is awesome. Have you ever been in a situation where you were not welcomed? Can I see your hands? Right? Where, like, could have been a high school reunion or something, right? Or high school itself, right? Or family. Have you ever, don't say the name, but have you ever been to a church where you weren't welcomed? Can I see your hand? Like you just went there and you just felt like people kind of didn't want you there. Okay, and I hope that's not today. Because we want you here. But, yeah, isn't it terrible though? The church should not be that way, and many churches are. And this passage says, if you receive a righteous person, somebody who's saved, in the name of a righteous person. In other words, because you realize they're saved. They love Jesus now. You welcome them to the family. And you're going to get the same reward as the person who was righteous. The person who found Jesus and God is working in their life. You're going to have Jesus continue to be in your heart and continue to work in your life. And that's awesome. I think church should be the best thing going. I really do. And I think it should be fun. I really do. I'm kind of crazy. I think church should be fun. I think we should laugh. I think we should have a lot of great activities and stuff. But it's not about the activities. It's about the family feel. It's about really having people who care about you. As a side note, can I say that's why we're doing community groups that start this week? They're only for 8 weeks. And then we stop. So we're not asking you to give like your whole life. But we're asking you to give 1 hour a week for 8 weeks, either on a Wednesday night or a Thursday night, from 7 to 8 o'clock, to just come, talk about the Bible, and get to know each other. Now, what we do during community groups is we get to know each other. We have an opening question just to get to know each other a little bit. And the Bible passage that we share is the same as we did the previous Sunday. So Wednesday night, we're talking about what we're talking about now. So you can know that showing up prepared. Do you ever like going to a meeting not prepared? And you feel like there's going to be a quiz? Oh gosh, they're going to ask me about something I don't know. Well, we're not doing that. You're sitting here. You know what we're talking about. So come out. And it'll help us get to know each other and help us to become the family that God's called us to be. But if you receive a righteous person, someone who Jesus is changing, and you welcome them in, Jesus said He's going to bless you. And I hope our church is always loving. Right? I hope our church is always a church that loves people. And maybe this is important to me. Perhaps more than some people, I don't know. Maybe it's important to me because one day I was praying for a church and God had me made a wrong turn in front of some church. And I didn't know anything about the church at all. But I sat in front of the church and thought, God, I think this is You. So I'm going to give it a shot. And it was like 20 miles from my house. It wasn't really close. But 2 weeks later, I went. And I pulled into what was and is Malaga Assembly of God. And I pulled in on a Sunday night. I pulled in at 6:30, I think. The sign says, I was probably a few minutes late for that. Don't laugh. Some of you are like, yeah, surprising, right? Thanks. Kick a dog while they're down. But the service got done really quickly. It was over by 7, and I'm like, this is the shortest church I've ever been to in my life. But the service time was wrong on the sign. They actually started earlier. And so I pull up. Everybody's already in church, and here I am. I walk through the back door. Everybody turns around and looks. I'm like, oh, great, that's fun. I walk in. I had long hair, like real long hair. I don't think it's a sin to have long hair. I just don't have it anymore. I had long hair, and I had a leather cycle jacket, and I had a Harley Davidson shirt on. This was in the 90s, right? This was in the 90s, so I look like I probably just got out of, like, Metallica or something. And here I am, I'm walking into the church, and everybody looks at me, because they're already having service. And then I sat down to the right-hand side, near, like, the back row. And they just kept doing their thing, and after church, I was surrounded by the most loving people I've ever seen. And a lot of them at that time were in their 80s. But they came over and they loved me. And there were many who were Italian. And I'm not Italian at all. I don't even know what I am. And people came over and they loved me. And they hugged me. Now picture someone that, like, totally different kind of music, totally different generation. Long hair, leather jacket, jeans, Harley shirt, dressed in black, showing up, and they hugged me. And they received me. And I was blessed. And I'm sure they were blessed because Jesus said they would receive reward for loving me. And you know what? It changed my life. I think church can change lives. Church can be disgusting and nasty and hurt people. Or church can be life-giving. Jesus made the church. We're supposed to have a church. We're supposed to go to church. You won't be complete unless you're a part of a church. And if we're going to do church, listen, I want to do a church that's right. And I want to love people. And I want to love Jesus. And I want a church that welcomes people no matter how strange you look. And no matter what kind of music you like. Or no matter how long your hair or short your hair. Right? Or if you're bald, love bald people too, right? Right? Sorry, guys, it's just there. we have the bald brotherhood, and I'm trying desperately I'm trying desperately to not join them. I wake up with nightmares that I'm a part of the Bald Brotherhood. But listen, we want to receive people who are changed. Because we believe when you hold out God's Word and you preach it, people are changed. And when they're changed, we want to say welcome to the family. Because that's who we are and that's who God's called us to be. And you know what? That's fun. That's exciting. We're going to look at the next verse here. We're almost done. We all come from different backgrounds. We all come from different places. But Jesus changes us all. And I'm so glad for that. The last thing on your outline is this. God rewards those who bless His spokesman so they can continue to preach the gospel. God rewards those who bless His spokesman so they can continue to preach the gospel. I know that's a little wordy, but I think it captures what we're trying to say. Verse 42, Jesus says, if you give even a cup of cold water to one of the least of my followers, you will surely be rewarded. The New Living, which I'm reading, says least of my followers. NIV King James says the little ones. This is it. These are those who the world looks at as insignificant. Insignificant. Some people look at the famous pastor and they think the famous pastor is more important than the pastor of a small church. Listen, that is simply not true. Many people view famous pastors as having a greater ministry than those who pastor the small church. That's not true. God has called many people to be His spokesman in the world. How terrible is it when you see famous pastors living extravagant lifestyles while there are many poor pastors who love God, who are struggling? How horrible is that? How evil is that? And how odd that the famous pastors are the ones still asking for your money. It disgusts me. To be honest with you, I'm really sure it disgusts God. But that's for them to stand before Jesus with. Good luck on that day. But listen, we need to take care of, Jesus says, the insignificant ones, the least of His followers. It says, if you give even a cup of cold water to the least of the followers, you will be rewarded. Why do we need to care about the insignificant ones? Here's why. Because they're preaching the gospel where no one else is. You know, there's some places in our country where it's really easy to preach, where it's really easy to start a church, where you can have a church of 1,000 people and it's really easy to do. There's parts of our country where going to church is in the culture and people just do that, whether they love Jesus or not. They just go to church all the time. Now, you've heard a lot about mega churches, right? There's some churches with 10,000 people. Did you notice that there's none of them on the East Coast? Not on the Northeast, maybe in the Bible Belt, but there's like no mega churches in our region at all. I mean, 10,000 people, whatever. No matter how great the stage is, no matter how good the lighting is, and no matter how awesome the band is, it just doesn't happen. This is a hard area. No one really wants to do that because it's really hard. It's really difficult. Now, how many think it's important to have people preaching the gospel in our region, even though it's hard? God calls us to bless those who are seemingly insignificant. They are there where no one else is. They're preaching where it's hard. It is those that need help. It is those seemingly insignificant churches that are actually the ones changing lives. Sometimes, and this isn't a knock about big churches, but a lot of times people don't know your name. And when you have a problem in your family, because of the size of the church, you're not going to get a hold of the pastor to talk to. And again, it's not a knock on them. It's just really the way it works because there's so many people and so many things to take care of. It's the seemingly insignificant churches that can be there and help you as you go through difficult times. That's why your tithes and offerings are important to go to your own church and not famous TV churches. It's not about fame, it's about faithfulness. It's about faithfulness. And what I want you to do is to never think that our church or your pastor, it's me, never think of your church or your pastor as second string, as insignificant, as the least. Don't ever do that. Listen, God is working. I've seen God working in many of your lives. I've seen God working here. God is at work. The local church, and I don't mean just this church. I mean many local churches in the area are the ones that are preaching the gospel and they're on the front lines fighting. A lot of pastors, and I'm not just talking about me. I mean, there's a lot of pastors who love Jesus, who are doing a good job, who are working as hard as they can, and they're the ones who need your support. Don't give to the people that have $10 million buildings, or $100 million buildings is probably more accurate. Why don't you help the guy who's the least? That's when God will bless you. There are many pastors, and I'm not talking about myself, but there are many who struggle dearly. Why not bless them? You should be proud of your church. You should be proud. As proud as you can of your pastor. Really sounds weird to say. You should be proud of your pastor. But you know what? You should help and be a part of the family and help serve and make things better. Right? If you come and things aren't good, you should serve and help. If you come and the wall looks nasty and needs to be painted, you should say, Pastor, I'm going to take care of that. Don't just say, oh, it needs to be painted. Say, where's the paint? And I'll take care of it. Because you should be proud of your church. This isn't second rate. This isn't like pretend church and the real ones are on TV. This is where God is working and changing lives. Those who many people think are seemingly insignificant. And again, I just don't mean here at Solid Rock. I mean the small church in Vineland, small church in Hamilton. Bless. Bless them. Right now, we have a unique opportunity to bless the Lord's spokesman. Right now, in our church, we do. We're doing something unique. And it's not just to bless famous people. Let's bless those that don't have anything. And what I'm talking about is India. We talked about this last week. There's a lot of need in India. And when we think the country of India, and when we think about the world, many people don't care about India. They don't matter. They're the least. They're the little ones. Who cares? Our lives are important and their lives aren't. That's how many feel. But we have the unique opportunity to bless those who the world considers insignificant. I'm going to run through a few stats. If you weren't here last week, quickly fly through. There's 1.2 billion people in India. 1.2 billion. Billion with a B. A lot of people. They need Jesus. In India, the poverty is 80%. Well, 80% live on less than $2 a day. Half of all the children are malnourished. Half. Isn't that staggering? Half are malnourished. One out of every child dies in 15 seconds. That's a lot. That's disturbing to me. 500,000 boys each year become addicted to alcohol and drugs. And 500,000 little girls are sold into the sex slave industry. 500,000 little girls are raped. And people take pictures and video of their privates. That's just what they do. Pornography, rape. You'd call a number. I want three little girls. And they bring them to you. How disgusting. I can't bear it. I can't think about it. Because then I'll just want to kill somebody. It's disgusting, isn't it? The nation has a lot of problems. 70% of the nation is very young. It's a very young nation. The youngest nation in all the world. And this generation is looking for questions or looking for answers. They have a lot of questions. And they've said, you know what? Things aren't working the way they used to work. We need change. And guess what? Right now is the time that we can participate in what God is doing there. The Assemblies of God of India is looking to train 30,000 pastors immediately. 30,000 pastors immediately to help go out and change the world. Every pastor is an agent of change. When they go and they plant churches, the churches is where they feed the poor. At the churches where they rescue children at risk, where they educate, they present the gospel, and they offer hope. India will be changed through pastors who are starting churches, because if the heart isn't changed, you're not changed. You can make it illegal to do some stuff, but legislation does not change morality. Legislation does not dictate morality. It just doesn't. We don't need more laws. We need changed hearts. And that comes from Jesus, and it comes from God's spokesman holding out the words of God and seeing hearts changed. Listen, we have the opportunity to help. Our district, this is just Assemblies, churches in New Jersey, are all participating to help do something, to help start churches and help the pastors. The Assemblies of God in India have asked the New Jersey churches to help them, to provide training materials. They need 30,000 pastors. And they have a unique series of, I believe it's 6 books that they have printed and they've purchased, and they need to put them into the hands of a pastor to help teach them how to be a pastor and how to preach and how to pray and how to start a church and all those things. I've looked at the books myself. I've had them in my hands. I was shocked at the section that explained what Christmas is, because people in India have no idea what Christmas is. They don't know that we celebrate the birth of Jesus. And it has, what is Easter? And there's a section on what is Easter. And it says how we celebrate the resurrection of the Lord. See, we take these holidays for granted. They don't know about Jesus. And for $3, a pastor can receive all 6 books. That's ridiculously cheap. And I've looked at the books. They're good-sized books. But they have a deal with a printing company, very cheap. For $3, a pastor receives the whole set. And for $2 more, they're able to fly or bring the pastor in and give them the materials and send them back out. So it's $5 a pastor, and we're able to see lives changed. That's fantastic, that we can do something to be a part of what God is doing. Now someone, or somebody, I don't know who, somebody already gave $70,000. Or they gave half of it. Like, it's done. They just need the other half. And they're asking the churches in New Jersey to help. So I start thinking, you know, what can we do as a church? And with thinking this through, God called us to bless those who are seemingly insignificant. For $5, we sponsor a pastor and we put tools in their hands to equip them for ministry. The challenge that I shared last week is, how many pastors can you sponsor? Because when I hear this, it's $5, like, right? It's like a Happy Meal. And instead of a Happy Meal, a pastor can have all that he needs. It's mind-blowing. It's ridiculous. There are 12 more weeks to this project. That's it. And then we're done. It's through the 1st of May and we're done. It's not forever. It's just for a little while. And my question, or my thought is this. If you sponsor one pastor per week for 12 weeks, it's less than $1 a day. That's 12 pastors and 12 potential church plants that you've helped to start, because you gave them the materials, 12 churches. Isn't that... is that crazy? Now, because I'm a little bit of a math geek, if $5 times 12 weeks, it's only $60 for the whole thing, is what we're asking people to do. And if 20 families in our church each gave $5 a week, that's 240 pastors that our church, that many would think is seemingly insignificant, we're able to bless 240 pastors, and potentially 240 new churches get started. And it's only going to cost us $1,200. I think I can do that. I can do $5 a week for a few weeks to help see the people in India changed. And how neat that as we go through today's passage, it encourages us to reward those. Give a cup of cold water. do something to bless someone who's the least, who nobody else cares about. I think that's cool. I have a 1 minute video clip of the superintendent of the Assemblies of God churches in India talking about this.
Greetings from India. I want to thank you for the New Jersey district for helping us to print this educational materials to train leaders. I want to thank your missions director, Rich, who came with your mission team and met me over this office. I want to thank Brother David Costin, who is helping us to raise funds to translate this material into different languages of India. We have a vision from God to plant 25,000 new house churches in India before 2020. For that, we need these materials. These materials will help to train the lay people in all of our churches. We have potential leaders to reach more than 1 billion people. We have to release this laity from our churches. We have a vision, but we need tools to train them up. This will greatly help to train the ordinary people. They will be released into the villages. We have more than 600,000 villages that must be touched by the gospel. We need leaders, laborers of few, but these materials will definitely help. I want to thank all of you for raising these funds through your district. God will richly bless your district, and you will reap the souls into the kingdom of God. Thank you very much once again for all in the Assemblies of God. God bless you. Thank you.
Wow, something that hit me as I listened to that. What they want to do is train, he said, the laity, the lay people in their churches. That means people like you and people like I was at Malaga. As I walked in and I just sensed that God was calling me to do something. God was calling me to be in ministry. And they have people who sense that God is calling them. And they want to give their lives for Jesus and they don't know how. And these materials will help them so they can go out. That, to me, that's crazy. It's crazy cool. It's really neat that we can be a part of what God is doing. In summary, for today's message, as we look at how we can apply this to our lives, my question for our first thought was this. Do you realize that God wants to speak to you through the preaching of the Word? God has ordained spokesmen to preach. God wants to speak to you. Do you realize that? Let's come to church with the expectation to realize that God wants to talk to us today. Let's examine our attitudes towards the Bible and towards preaching and towards the spiritual gifts and realize the Creator of the universe wants to talk to you and He wants to work in your life. Let's realize that. My other question is, do you welcome those who minister God's Word? Do you welcome them? Do you receive them? Do you consider pastors to be important? Or do you just think they're the guys that are supposed to clean the toilets and sweep the floor? There are some people that don't hold pastors as being men of God. And they miss what God is doing. Because God wants to speak. Now this does not mean all pastors are perfect, and I don't mean that, and I'm a goofball half the time. But when we preach and we get into the Word, we need to be ready to receive. And you know what? I want to say this. When we have our missionaries come at the missions banquet, I want to receive. See, I can say this because I sat through many churches and I want to hear God speak to me. And I still listen to a few pastors who I like and I download their messages and put it on my MP3 player. And I say, God, speak to me. So we should say that as we move forward. The third one, God rewards those who receive the ones changed by His spokesman. Do you welcome people to church? Are you glad to see them? Do you give them a hug? Because you know what it's like to be unwelcomed. I pray that we would receive all those who God brings to our church. Listen, even if they look strange, because some of you look strange, you need to welcome others who look strange. Everybody's like, not me. Welcome. Love them. Last one. God rewards those who bless His spokesman so they can continue to preach. Will you be a part of what God is doing? Will you bless those? A couple thoughts here. For one, we just talked about India. I think it's an awesome thing to do, and I think it's something that, I don't care how poor you are, you could probably come up to bless at least one pastor through the next 12 weeks. And some of you can do many more pastors. Let's just be a part of what God is doing. I want to listen to the results of what God's doing. Another thought with this, bless those so they can continue to preach the gospel. Here's my thought with that too. How many of you in the past have been impacted by a former pastor? Or maybe a current pastor? If they're still alive, and if you're still able, why not send them a note this week? Send them a card. Send them a Facebook note and say, you know what? You really blessed me and you really helped me. Why not encourage them and let them know? There's a lot of pastors, especially as they get older, where they really don't get a lot of attention. And they don't have a lot of money at all because they've given their lives to pastor. They could be making a whole lot more money doing something else. You're not into money, or you're not into ministry for money. If you are, you're a complete fool. You don't know how to add real well because it just doesn't work. But why not be an encouragement to someone? At least let them know, you know what? When I was at your church, you really blessed me. And I just want to let you know. But maybe that could be like a cup of cold water to just refresh their broken spirits. Why not? If it's a pastor who has moved on and they're in heaven now, they passed away, why not add to their legacy by sharing their story? We're going to do that at community group too this week. Why not tell somebody, you know what, Pastor so-and-so blessed me. I'm not saying pastors are perfect, they're not. I'm not saying I'm perfect, I'm not. But God speaks through them. And why not bless them? Right now I want to pray and ask the Lord to be with you and bless you. Can we do that today? Can we bow our heads as we get ready to go? Jesus, we love you. We've done a lot of stuff today. We had a baby dedication and it was fantastic. And God, it's just exciting to hear that you give us an opportunity to work with you and be a part of what's happening in India. That's cool. And I thank you for pastors in my own life who have blessed me. Lord, for me personally, for my grandfathers who I sat under their ministry and they've blessed me. And for Pastor Ray who blessed me at Malaga, and for Pastor Sabella who's blessed me. I thank you, Lord, so much. And for many here, they have pastors who have impacted their lives. And I pray that you would bless them as well. And bless those pastors. And may their legacy live on. Help us, Lord, to love people who you love. Help us, Lord, to welcome people who you're sending. Welcome your spokesman. And I pray that we would come expecting to hear from you. Praise you, Lord. Right now, before we go, I'm going to pray. If you're here and you've never asked Jesus to forgive you, listen, God wants to forgive you of your sins. If you're here and you're just not right with God, He wants to forgive you. I don't want you to miss the hope and love that He gives today. And I'm just going to ask you to pray this simple prayer with me. If you need to get right with God, if there's sins between you and God, He wants to forgive you. He wants to wash you clean. And if that's you, just pray with me today as we get ready to close. Jesus, I love you, God. Lord, I thank you for all that you've done in my life. And I thank you, Lord, for all that you've done on the cross. Lord, I know I have many sins, but I know, Jesus, you died on the cross for my sins and for the sins of the world. I pray, Lord, that you would forgive me of all of my sins. God, I want to get right with you. I don't want to keep doing things that just stink, that aren't helping my life, and I'm tired of living for me, and I want to start living for you. And I pray, God, that you would help me, change my life, forgive me, help me to live for you and to worship you as my God and my Savior.
Thank you that you wash me clean and make it just as if I've never sinned. We ask for your blessing today. Thank you for forgiving me. I want to follow you. In Jesus' name, amen.